On the show today, we have Pure IT Credit Union Services' very own Steve Coyne talking about the new FFIEC updates to their latest handbooks. In this case, we're talking about all the technology, all the financial technology updates that are in the latest handbook that actually NCUA and the FDIC use and a lot of other organizations as well. So Steve has it all for us here in this talk, so check it out. Welcome to our show. And on today's program, we have a very special guest, Mr. Steve Coyne from Pure IT Credit Union Services. Steve, how are you doing today, sir?
Man, I'm doing great. It's a great day here, and I'm in Houston today, so I'm actually working in my hometown. Even though I'm at a client, I'm still in my hometown. So,
well, the good news is that you're at a client site, so we're kind of doing the in-person thing again. So that's really good to hear.
Doing some in-person things.
All right. Well, we're making progress, baby steps. All right. So, hey, speaking of baby steps, the Federal Financial Institutions Examination Council, better known as FFIEC, has some updates. And they have these various, we were talking before the recording that they had these, you were explaining to me that they have these various handbooks that they update every now and then. And we're going to be talking about the technology one here. And obviously what credit unions need to do now once this one's been updated. And so, tell me about these real quickly, because maybe a lot of people don't know about these handbooks and the updates that they do with them before we get into the talking about the technology one, which you told me some news that really startled me, but I want to save that. I want to save that piece of information. All right. But just tell us about the handbooks in general real quick first.
Sure. So the FFIEC publishes a set of booklets, that I think is what it is that they call them, that go through and cover various different topics. And these are what are used by examiners in different financial places. So the FDIC would use it, the NCUA, folks who would do farm credit, different things, they actually would use those. And so they have different booklets. They actually have one on security. They have one on business continuity. They have one on management. Mm-hmm. So that different things like that. And so this is actually the update for the book for IT operations, is what it was called before. And they have along with the booklets, there's actually an examination guide. So there's a booklet that tells us what it is that we should be doing, and there's an examiner's guide that actually helps you to understand what to look for, mm-hmm. to help ensure that the things are being met that are actually in the booklet.
And I know from like past, because I know a lot of creating people have served on I guess you would call it the FFIEC board or mm-hmm. this group, the creating people are represented there as well. So they're well aware of what's going on, and it's pretty cool that they're there as well, giving us a voice as well. So let's talk about the technology handbook or booklet here, because you told me a piece of news that I almost did a backflip when you told me about one of their handbooks. So tell me about the technology piece of it here. Or that handbook.
Right. So the IT operations book is what it is that they've released a new one. The last time that they actually released a book for that was 2004. So it was the IT operations book was released in 2004. Wow. So that's, you know, that's 14 years that it's been, which is, you know, we were talking about that. That's like, you know, horses to space flight in terms of what's gone on from an IT perspective. So there's a lot of changes. So they actually changed the name. It's actually now the Architecture, Infrastructure, and Operations book. So it actually is trying to help you understand and see that there's a whole life cycle that goes around with that, mm-hmm. from a design to a build to a manage. And so it's not just the operation side of it, because it would have been written at the time when you were outsourcing, you were just using like a data processor. Exactly. There was like a data processing thing, right? So it's very different in how many different things have been actually added and are being covered at this point.
That's like that. It's like that handbook was written in stone, and now the latest version is like a PDF format or something. It's
exactly.
on your iPad.
That's right. It's HTML. You can actually click through it and go from page to page. It's like having a big wiki now. So we've gone from a stone to a wiki.
It's very interactive. And there's TikTok videos and all sorts of really cool stuff. No, I'm just joking. We're just joking here. But it's great that they updated that. So what are some of the updates? What are some of the things that we're seeing in here that creatives can be aware of?
So the biggest things that I would say, we can break it down into changes. So the biggest thing from a changes perspective, there's a lot of changes to the way they talk about risk. So there's a lot of new things there, and there's a whole section about risk and how it is that you evaluate the risk within everything to look at that from a technology perspective. And you may be smaller and not actually have a formal enterprise risk management program, and they actually talk about that. But it's one of those things of documenting and understanding and showing that you're looking at your risk.
Mm-hmm.
They went through and talked about some new roles. So there's actually the new role of an enterprise architect that they talk about in here. The other one that's actually really interesting is now, besides the fact that in the management handbook, they talk about a CIO and a CTO and a CISO, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. There's now in this book, a chief data officer. Oh, so now we have a CDO. So now we can actually, some other CDO, COD, whatever. But anyway, OCD, OCD, you got to put that in alphabetical order. So it's CDO.
Yes. Right. Anyway, oh my goodness.
but there's a lot of discussion about data. And having a chief data officer who actually is ensuring that you're looking at all the things about data policies and data lifecycle management, data assets, data oversight, all the databases, and making sure that you used to cross the organization, because data is now such an important part of what it is that we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of changes from a data perspective. And then the last big change I can see is how they talk about resilience. So there's a lot more discussion about resilience. Although there's actually a separate handbook on business continuity, the resilience side of things is actually covered in more detail, where they actually talk about how you should be training your stakeholders on how the plan works. You need to be testing the effectiveness, not just doing a plan that says this provider can actually do a failover, but testing all kinds of different scenarios that are there. I'm living in Houston, and so we've managed to get to go through some sort of big event every year for like the last 5 years. You know, you get your 100-year flood, and the next year you get a 300-year flood, and the next year you get a 1,000-year flood, and then those are supposed to happen once in a lifetime. And with a pandemic, we have once in a lifetime events every year.
Yeah,
and right. We end up getting to actually test our disaster recovery plan or our incident response plan. Even on our incident response plan, managing and dealing with things like the solar winds or Kaseya or any of those kind of things that are coming up. Now we have new incidents that are actually coming up that we have to look and see, was I affected? Do I have to do something mm-hmm. with that? So
well, that's kind of a good thing, don't you think, though? Because I mean, we're getting to test the systems out and see if they really work, right?
That's right. And a lot of the times we get to find whether or not how well they were put together. So Right. Just like here where I am at the moment, we were actually talking about it yesterday. The pandemic plan that they had was 2 pages long, and now it's 24.
Oh, I bet.
Because we learned a whole lot of things.
We
didn't have to just worry about the bird flu or whatever. We actually mm-hmm. now have, something that we can look at that's even larger. So now we look at it. But the discussion of that topic in the handbook is actually a lot bigger to actually go through and talking about how to go through that process. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. those are some of the changes that I have seen in it.
So what are the significance of this update, this latest update, or these new changes? What is the significance of that to credit unions or even financial institutions in general?
So it'll happen. It'll come through. And so as the NCUA is putting together their new methods of looking at and evaluating and doing their exams, they'll take this new information and they'll add that into what it is that they're doing.
Okay.
As it is, we're already going through a change to using the Intrex CU methodology, which we haven't got a release of what it is. They're developing it. So now they have a new handbook that they can actually use to add a few more things into that, to be able to talk about new pieces, new topics as they go and do that. But one of the things that I think is actually going to be really important in that is that there are new pieces to it that weren't there before. There's now new topics to talk about. There's now a heavy discussion about third-party providers within the book. So the new things that I see that have been added in there really are that third-party providers and how those are managed, some of the resilience things, remote access as a new section all to its own now. Personally owned devices, or what we talk about as bring your own device, there's mm-hmm. now a whole thing about personally owned devices. So those are new pieces, new things, and they're going to now come around from an exam perspective, yeah. and we're yeah. going to actually be answering some of those things. But in a lot of cases, what's really good about that is now that there's actually some guidance. The guidance was not really there before. So if we want to be using cloud computing or cloud providers, there wasn't really any guidance that said, yeah, cloud providers are good. It's okay. Yeah. Yeah. Now cloud providers are actually specifically defined underneath third-party providers. So they're a third-party provider, and it doesn't matter whether you're using a AWS and moving your infrastructure there, or whether you're actually just having Fiserv or Jack Henry or somebody manage and run your core. It's a third-party provider, and they're considered the same. And it actually specifically calls that out, mm-hmm. that there's all of these different things and that you might use of some sort of service that is being outsourced. And you and to keep in mind and remember that you are outsourcing the work, but you are not outsourcing your responsibility. Yep. You still have those responsibilities that you have to manage within that.
Well, and now that these changes are in the latest version of the handbook or the booklet, what do credit unions need to do now? Do they need to do anything specifically, or just review it and make sure everything's up to date, or what's their responsibility in this?
Yeah, so it's important to know what's in here and to kind of look at it. So reading through and kind of seeing what's there. And in a lot of cases, I would tell you that it opens up things that are more that you could actually do more. You may not feel as restricted in some cases because it talks about a lot of things. There's a whole evolving technology section, right? That talks about cloud computing and zero trust architecture and microservices. Oh, cool. And AI and machine learning and Internet of Things. There's actually a section on Internet of Things. Yay. I mean, so we've jumped so far ahead here. So now we don't have to worry about, is this okay? Right. Are they going to be okay with it? Yeah. So there's a lot of that to be able to know and understand. But at the same time, there's more making sure you're understanding that you have to manage a cert for third-party providers. You have to take care of the resilience that you need to. You have to manage your where the data is. So knowing that, you know, a good read through it to be able to do that for me. And what it is that we do is, since we're providing services where we're helping people get through exams, which is why I'm here today. We're getting through an exam that's next week. I spend a lot of time reading through the exam guide part and saying, what are they going to ask? So that I can kind of understand what they're going to do.
Okay.
But I, at this point today, you know, they're all just learning about it. It was released, you know, like July 1st, June 30th. So it was just a few weeks ago. So they're at the same point we are, right? They're all reading the new handbook as well, mm-hmm. Trying to make sure that they're up to speed, and the tools that are already there and already in place. They're just kind of adjusting some of those things here and there. But what we have done before may have little adjustments to it
that
we actually pay attention to.
Yeah, it sounds like this is a framework from which to work. Right.
Yes.
So like, I mean, I obviously organizations like the FDIC, NCUA, and then examiners, this is kind of gives them a foundation from where to work. Right. Is that
right? It is. This is that foundation that they kind of can have a framework, right, to be able to say what we should be doing are these kind of things. And then we can kind of look at that and see how mature is this. If I'm an examiner, how mature is this organization in doing these things? What do I consider things that they must do? What are things that they should do? Mm-hmm. At what level do I do that? If I'm working on protecting the insurance fund, right? I'm trying to look at my risk, and I'm saying these guys are $1 billion. They should be doing a little bit more because they present a bigger risk to my insurance fund than these guys that are at $100 million. So we work our way through different levels. That's why we have the peer groups, and we have those different things, the different requirements at different places, because they're looking at not paying claims, and the bigger you are, the bigger the claim is, right?
Yeah.
So they're looking and judging us and trying to help us. At the same time, as the credit unions, it gets harder. The bigger we get, the bigger it gets.
Yeah,
and the harder it is to keep it under control, right?
Yeah.
So if you're trying to do vulnerability management, patch management, there's actually pieces on that. If I'm trying to do patch management, and if I have 50 desktops, that's great. If I'm a $10 billion credit union and I have 2,000 desktops, that's a whole lot more things that I got to take care of patching. Mm-hmm. So it's a different scale of things to even keep at those different levels. So,
and I don't know if you know this, and I want to wrap this up here pretty quickly because I know you got a lot on your plate, but where does this organization get this information? Do they talk to various technology folks within the banking and the credit union industries to get, you know, these sections in the handbook up to date? Because I mean, this is some pretty really up to date stuff that they put in here now. So I don't know if you know this, but you know, where do they get that information?
What's their source? And you're right. I actually don't know the answer to that. Somewhere there are those committees. It's the examination tools that are used that are published out there. So, but it's like anything else, like NIST or CSF. The different organizations have, you know, time and people who yeah. can sit down and actually work their way through that. I would actually tell you, it's actually good information. I can't find any flaws with what it is that's here.
Fantastic.
It's okay. actually good information, and it'll just work its way through to our examination bodies, and they'll take care of, you know, coming to make sure that we're actually doing those things. Yeah.
Well, I think it's good news. It's good news for the industry, for sure, that this is up to date and refreshed. And now people have a different lens from which to work at. So it's really cool. I think this is fantastic. So the FFIEC did some good work here. So we're very happy about that. And I'm sure credit unions are as well, because everything's up to date. Now we're ready to really full steam ahead. So good stuff. Anything else to add here, Steve? Any final thoughts here on this?
No, I'm actually looking forward to seeing, you know, whether, so since I actually have an exam that I'm doing here next week, I'll be interested in actually talking to my examiner and seeing whether they have any, whether they've actually read the book yet, whether there's some updated things there. For the most part, it's the things we should have been doing. It's the things we have been doing. I think it just actually helps, you know, clarify certain things a little bit better and put different emphasis in some different places that it needed to be. So I think it's actually a good thing overall.
Yep, I agree. And as fast as technology is moving, there might be a new update next month. Who knows?
Who knows? All
right. Well, thanks again, Steve. Appreciate the time as always. Great information, and have fun there this week.
All right.
On site, in person. Good stuff.
Exactly. All right. Thanks a lot, Mike.
Oh, you're welcome.